Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So we are looking at the love of God, the love of God. And we want to start off looking at the characteristics of God's love. The characteristics of God's love. How God's love looks like. Is it like ours? How does it look like? You know, when I say is it like ours, I'm talking about ours as humans. Amen? Now, characteristics of God's love. The first I want us to note is that God's love is not measurable. God's love is not measurable. That is, it is infinite in nature. It is unlimited in extent because God's love is Him. Wonderful. God's love is Him. You know? So, just as God is unlimited, His love is also unlimited. Because God cannot be unlimited and then His love is limited. Otherwise, God is limited. I hope you understand. Good. God cannot be immeasurable, you know, and then His love is measurable. Then it doesn't fit into Him. God is love. Because of that, God's love is just like Him. It's immeasurable. It is infinite in nature. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 3 verse 18 to 19 teaches us that God desires for us to know the four dimensions of His love. You know, Ephesians 3 18 verse 17b says that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height dash to know the love of God. You know why the dash is there? It means that the dimensions of God's love, it has no end. If you look at your typical Bible, you see that after He mentions the dimensions, there is a dash. That tells you that it's infinite in dimension. Hallelujah. To know the width, length, depth, and height. And then we have a dash. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So God's love is immeasurable. Our love is measurable. We even ration it. Oh no, this one, he doesn't deserve this one. So we ration our love. We give it to people piece in pieces. Sometimes even to our spouses, we give them 50. Can you imagine that? 50 love, 50% of love. Then you keep the 50 just to balance yourself. Because you see that women are dangerous or men are bad. You see? So we ration the thing. You look at this friend of yours, you say, no, this one, I'm going to give him 20% of my love. Let me keep the 80 because he doesn't deserve it. You see? But God is not like that. His love is infinite in nature. Are you excited about that? Wonderful. Number two, God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. It means that He doesn't wait for you to put something on the table before He shows you His love. Romans chapter 5 and then verse 8 to 9. God does not wait for you to do something and then He will reciprocate. You see, if God does that, then you control God. And if you control God, then He is not God. God is God all by Himself. So if He waits for you to initiate something so that He also shows you love, then you are controlling God. But God is a king. He is in charge of Himself. He cannot be controlled by anybody. So He does not actually react. God acts. He doesn't react depending upon how people are doing. Maybe if they are praying hard, then He says, well, then I'll do this thing. You know, He's not like that. His love is unconditional. There are no conditions attached to that. Are you excited about this one? Look at verse 8, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love. I love the way the New King James Version of the Bible puts it. He demonstrates. That's a present continuous rendition. He demonstrates His own love, not people's love, not the love that we know about, but His own love towards us, in that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, please underline, much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. It's beautiful. Says that God's love is so unconditional that whilst we were sinners, He showed the love to us. It wasn't conditioned upon the fact that we were good people and all that. And He says that much more, now that we have been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. It's beautiful. If when we were sinners, He showed us love by dying for us. The Bible says that now that we have become believers, we now love Him. God is going to save us from wrath. From whose wrath? Certainly, God is not angry with us. You understand? If you were a believer, now that you have received Jesus Christ, God is no longer angry with you. So, the saving from wrath, now that we have been justified, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Whose anger or whose wrath are you going to be saved from? It's the devil's. Because he's annoyed, prowling around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is annoyed. Human beings are annoyed. Sometimes you see that human beings are annoyed with you. Can't you see that? Sometimes you see that your lecturer is annoyed with you. Sometimes you see that your daddy is annoyed with you. Your teacher or your head teacher is annoyed with you. Maybe for an insolent behavior that you showed. But the Bible says that if you were a believer, even in that condition, God's love can still come to you. And then He will save you from the wrath of your headmaster. Hallelujah. Do you know what you do? You just pray that, God, I have erred. Please pour some water on this man's heart for me. Pour it on my father's heart. Pour it on my husband's heart. The Bible says that now that you are a believer, you see, people can be annoyed with you. The devil is annoyed that you are a believer. And human beings, sometimes they are annoyed at you. Sometimes it's your fault. But even when we were sinners, He died for us. Now that I'm a believer and I've erred small, I will be saved. That's why He says, much more, I will be saved. Don't just refuse to forgive yourself. Don't just refuse to, sometimes we feel like I have to take it. You know, I committed the offense. I have to take it and all that. No, somebody took the punishment of all your sins, including that offense for you. His name is called Jesus Christ. So you can be saved from anger through Him. He can save you. Hallelujah. You know, that is where the God of all grace, after you have suffered a while, He Himself will come in and say, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough. You have commuted the life sentence to 20 years in prison. You know, say, it's enough. We are giving Him parole. It's enough. There was a time He shook even the Philippi jail and released all the prisoners. Release them, all of them. Sometimes God says to humans, it's enough. You have punished them enough. Let them go. You don't have to punish them and keep them in prison until their whole spirit becomes shattered and they don't feel like human beings again. Now, they are made in the image of God. Sometimes God says the punishment is enough. You have suffered enough. I'm coming in myself to end it, to settle it. I'm teaching us, ladies and gentlemen, to know that the love of God is unconditional. It doesn't mean that, well, because I have done something wrong, then I should. No, God can intervene for you. If He doesn't intervene, just thank God for it, because I'll show you something else about His love. God's love is of His kingdom. God's love is of His kingdom. What does it mean? It means that this immeasurable love of God brings about His kingdom. It brings about His kingdom into your life. Ladies and gentlemen, during the first kingdom era, when our parents, Adam and Eve, they were living in a glory realm. Their realm was like heaven on earth. On this earth too, but it was like heaven on this earth. They had everything in abundance. They had the presence of God. They were so blessed, you know. They didn't pray for it. They didn't pray for all of the presence of God to come and all that. In fact, they sinned even to disturb God, but He still came. He still came. He knew they had sinned, but He still came. Wonderful. That's how it is, you know. So, the first kingdom system or era, it came about by the love of God, not by us putting anything on the table. They didn't put nothing on the table. They just came and they saw everything has been complete. That's the first kingdom era. They didn't work for anything. During the second kingdom era, or the reintroduction, I should say, of the kingdom of God by our Lord Jesus, it did not come before because we prayed for it. No. Rather, we even shunned him. We even shunned God. He himself came and said that, look, I have canceled all your sins. I'm going to put it all upon my son. You know? So, heaven on earth always comes by the love of God. That is why God's love, one characteristic of it is that it is of the kingdom. It is of the kingdom. It brings the kingdom of God into your life. Hallelujah. So now that you are looking for heaven in your life, what should you rely upon? The love of God. That is what made Jesus carry it upon his shoulder and put it on this earth. If he wants to bring it into your life, it's going to come through the same vehicle of the love of God. Hallelujah. That is why we need to know the depths of the love of God. Hallelujah. So God's love is of the kingdom. When we say it's of the kingdom, it also means that it is the kingdom type. It is not the human type. The human type, you know how it is. You know, brotherly love. You love your brother because you came from the same family. You came from the same womb. That's not God's type of love. It's a good love, but that's not God, heaven's type. That's not the kingdom type. The kingdom type is the one that God shows unto us. Even whilst we were yet sinners, he did it. So, it is of the kingdom. That's the third characteristic. Number four. The fourth characteristic of the love of God is that it is not automatic. It is not automatic. Because sometimes some people think that if we say that the love of God is unconditional, it means that it is automatic. No. When I say it is not automatic, I mean that it is not forced. God doesn't force his love on you. That is why he is cool and calm and collected, you know, towards humans who resent his love, who hates his love, so to speak, who will not embrace his love. He doesn't force his love on them. Wonderful. Because you see, if you force love on people, they can even commit suicide. Are you aware of that? Maybe nobody has shown love to you, forced the person's love on you. You see that the person is just irritating you, titting you. In fact, somebody can titty you when you wake up, you see WhatsApp, and then you go to your television and he uses a certain technology to just show you a certain heart, and his heart is pumping like that. Say, I love you everywhere. You go to your kitchen, you see that love written everywhere. You want to just be free a little bit. But this person is forcing his love or her love on you. Every day, he is visiting you. Every day. And then he tells you, it's because I love you. Abba! What kind of love is this? You know, God loves us, but he doesn't force it on us. It is not automatic. He so loves us that he, in his love, he will not fall, because he knows that if you are not ready for his love and he unleashes it on you, it will overwhelm you. In fact, you would get irritated. You will not be happy. Put one off. You will not be happy. Hallelujah. So, God's love is unconditional. Hallelujah. But it is not automatic. It is not forced on you. You know, something can be offered unconditionally to you, but you can refuse it. You can refuse it because it's not by force. That is why God will not violate your will and give his unconditional love to you. So if you refuse his love, it still remains unconditional, but he cannot deny himself, because he is that unconditional love. So it will still remain unconditional, although you do not want it or refuse it. Though the fact that you do not believe that God's love is unconditional does not mean it will change into a conditional one. If I don't believe that God's love is unconditional, in other words, if I believe that I have to put something on the table, you know, you want to go back into the Old Testament. If you do this, I will do that. If you do this, I will do that. So that you reduce your relationship with God to a business partner, like a transaction. You have entered into a business contract before. You do this, I do that. Or tenancy. The landlord shall do that. The tenant shall do that. It becomes transactional in nature. But God is not a transactional God. He loves us. He wants to show us his love. You want to go to the Old Testament and say, if you do that, if you diligently, then me too, I'll do that. If you do that, then I'll do that. If you are this, then I'll do that. If you want to live like that, it does not mean that God's love is conditional to you. You think it's unconditional. You want to live like that. But the thing is that it is still unconditional. It's not premised on you obeying this and doing that. Even when you were a sinner, you were not obeying. He showed you the greatest love.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Think about it. Why will he wait for you to do something before? He says that with his son, he will freely, the Greek word is, he will grant you as a favor. Not as, because you deserve it, but as a favor, he will grant it to you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. So, it is not automatic. You have to learn to accept it. That's what the Bible says, believe the love of God. Believe the love of God, you know, because it is not automatic. The final characteristic I'll give you today is that God's love passes or is beyond scientific knowledge. It is beyond scientific knowledge. It is beyond scientific knowledge. What does it mean? It means that God's love, you can't look into your life and logically say that because I'm going through this, it means that God does not love me. Or because I'm going through this, it necessarily means that God loves you. Yes, as for that one, it's true. God always loves you. But what this means is that you should not look into your life to say that because these things are happening to me, it means that God does not love me. God loves you. His knowledge passes gnosis. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Bible says that to know the dimensions, and then there is a dash, immeasurable, unending, is infinite love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So it's describing to us the nature of the love of God. It passes scientific knowledge. The Greek word translated knowledge there is the word gnosis, which is scientific knowledge, where you add 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. That's a type of knowledge, but it's scientific. But God's love is beyond scientific knowledge, beyond 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. You know, yeah, sometimes you can look into your life and say that, well, because all my people have enjoyed this, and me, I have not enjoyed this thing, it means God does not love me. Not so. Hallelujah. No matter what happens to you, ladies and gentlemen, no matter, oh, hallelujah, thank God for his love. No matter, oh, hallelujah, no matter what happens to you, God loves you. There was a time I was traveling to Europe, and I was going with some people. All of them, they had their tickets. Everything came. Hey! Me alone. When my ticket finally came, I realized I was going to do a transit. I said, I don't like it. I want a direct flight. But I looked at everybody. everybody going. Can you imagine? You're going for the same destination, and then everybody is going, and you alone. You feel like, oh God, what happened? All my people, all of them, they have done well. All of them, they have passed. All of them, they have had admission. Why me alone? Me alone, me alone. I tell you, I came to the verge of me alone. Because you see, you don't know. If you travel in a group, it's sweet. Yeah, it's nice. If you don't know, I'm telling you. You don't know. It's very good. But God is good. I don't want to say God is gooder. You know what happened? I made every effort. No, give me this, give me that. It didn't happen. Even when I was outside in Europe, I said, no, change the thing. I don't want it. Not knowing that God wanted me alone to enjoy a business class treatment. Yes. Hey, when I got to the place and I looked at my thing and I saw, I'm going to go with this first class. I said, ha, me? You know what? Even all of my people, I went and they said, if you have been to big airports, you will see how pampered you are. You know? Because these people, they know how to pamper human beings. Yeah, they know how to make you feel good. Especially if you are traveling business class. You feel gooder. Because there is a place where you sit and you see that the whole atmosphere, they call it Lufthansa Lounge. The director said, no, sir, you have to go to... I looked at the place. I said, okay, I went. And I went, I saw people and they were enjoying themselves, unlike those other places where everybody was. They were enjoying themselves. I sat down. I said, wow, this one you have to enjoy. Look at all the food. I said, there's no watch inside. But you see, enjoyment. And when you're going to board the thing, they will tell you that we want to board the business class first. And come and see, I saw some few people, you know, mostly white people, were about two dark-skinned people, you know, mostly, like very few, like eight, very few of them. And I also got up. And that is where I saw that, if our God's love, it passes Gnosis, scientific knowledge. Because everybody will be looking at you. I was talking with one guy who was in a GFA. You know, I recognized that I was talking with him, I mean, outside. And then I didn't tell him I was on this class. So when they said, you want to board there, they announced for the business class, and these white people, plenty of them, this black guy, I also got up. I saw that the guy was looking, hey! The guy who was doing himself like simple like that is not a simple man. So I also went, and everybody was looking, and then you go and board. You enjoy. In fact, that is one flight of all my flights that when I realized, they said, get ready for landing. Do you know? Let me tell you something. The seat, if you sit inside there, in fact, all the things that the seat can do, I made the seat to do. Because there's a place you press, they say massage, and you see, oh my God. You see that you are being pampered, and you want it in a certain form. They said, bed. I said, no, I have to sleep. Meanwhile, you are trying to sleep, and every time they are bringing you food, they are trying to give you this. I said, no, don't bring it again. I said, I want to sleep. I pressed the thing, and that space, I went, nice sound. As you are going, you see that it's making you feel good, and the thing is trying to hug you, make you feel good. People enjoy you. I tell you, it makes you feel good. And I went flat like your bed. Meanwhile, I was sitting on. I went flat like your bed, and I was there. And suddenly, I realized that some of you don't massage. I realized that massaging is good because it put you to sleep. Before I realized, he said, we should sit upright for landing. I said, hey, we are in Accra already. There were some people sitting by me. I think there was one person, he's a Togolese politician. He had a lot of rings, full of perfume. I said, my God, this man. You know, I know, because they sort of were waiting for him to come, sort of, you know, before we took off outside. But look at me, look at me, look at me. I was crying and I was saying, why me? Why me? Why me? All my people, why me? Me alone, me alone. I'm doing trust in me alone. Not knowing that the love of God It passes putting one and two together. All my people, they have got their ticket. I ring. Yours has not come. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying this to make us to know that all your friends can go ahead. They may seem to be going ahead, but I tell you what, the love of God for you is so great. There is a reason why he secluded you. There is a reason why you didn't go with the numbers. Later you will understand. Everybody who sat back and said, oh, well, he's not blessed. They are not blessed and all that. You sit back and say, hey, this God, he doesn't love only one human being. He doesn't love only one person. I've told you over and over again that this love of God is not directed to one person. It's not directed to me alone, if you think so. What he did for me, he will do for you. He will defy all the odds. He will defy. You will not be qualified for that kind of enjoyment, but oh, God will put you there. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was joining the economy people, and then somebody said, no, no, business class, you are there. When I went, there was no queue. I just went. And they were treating me good because you are an important person. How important am I? How important am I? It is the love of God. So God will fix you up. Although now it looks like, oh, sometimes we even talk funny. Sometimes you think, well, me, I'm alive, I'm blessed, God loves me. That person who died, God doesn't, I won't told you that. Sometimes God so loves us that he will take you away from, like Enoch, he will just carry you away. You enjoy more. Hallelujah. So we have to revise what we call blessing, what we call love. Read the Beatitude, you see what blessing is. It's not like what we know. So, the love of God, the Bible clearly says to know the love of Christ, which is beyond scientific knowledge. The scripture says that when God is disciplining you, for the moment, it feels like it is grievous. It feels like, why me alone, me alone, me alone? But it says that afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who that love was exercised to. Hallelujah. Wonderful. That is why you must look into your life and say that you are the favorite son of God, that God loves you, that you are the person that God loves of all the people here. John was very strong to say that. Says that he is the disciple whom Jesus loves. Say that about you. I say that of all the people on this earth, of all the people in this room, God loves me more than anybody. You two say the same thing. And you say the same thing. Everybody should say the same thing. Because that is the reality, that God loves you. And to you, it is more. It is like people you look at and you say that they are not, you think they are not enjoying their lives. You think because you are driving a Mercedes Benz, you are blessed. And those other people who don't have a car, they are not enjoying their lives. When you go and hear them worshiping God and praising God for the food on their table, you will see that they are blessed. They feel blessed. And you look at their food and say, ah, but this way is no food. To them, God loves them more. You may think that they only have 100 Ghana. Me, I earn so much. God loves me. It is not scientific knowledge. Don't write yourself out and say that because I earn little money and this person earns big money, it means that God loves the person who earns more money more than me who earns little money. Not so. Not so, my friend. Not so, my friend. The love of God, one characteristic is that it passes scientific knowledge. Believe in the love of God. Don't let circumstance confuse you. Don't feel confused because you are left out of the crowd, because all your people are gone and you are struggling. No, don't feel confused. Still believe in the love of God. Believe that I'm blessed. When they ask you, how are you? Tell them, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Let them think they are blessed. I think I'm blessed. Although I was struggling to get my ticket, I think I'm blessed. We went to the same place through different routes, different flights, different everything. But I enjoyed. When I came, I said, oh God, in fact, you love. Your love is wonderful. It's good. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. So five characteristics of the love of God today. Let's move on to look at why God shows us his love. Why does he show us this kind of love? What is the motive for God showing unconditional love? Don't you think, God, if you show unconditional love, you are trying to spoil these people? Let's help you. The way you are showing love, you are spoiling them. No, don't do that. Don't do that. God, you are spoiling them. Listen, God is aware of what he's doing. And there's a reason why he shows this type of love. There is a reason why when you put one and two together in your life, you think that God doesn't love you. But he says that I love you. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.